You're listening to the Muslims Down Under podcast. In this podcast, we reflect on topics related to Islam and Muslims, those that are often ignored or misinterpreted. Open your mind to understand what unites us and become mates with Muslims.
Experience discrimination,
radicalization,
and contemporary and relevant topics.
Welcome back to another series of the Muslims Down Under podcast. We are so excited to be back with our third series, and we're looking forward to another series of great discussions on new topics with new guests and a season that will be done in a slightly new way. So with this series, we're hoping to do things slightly differently, where we're hoping to share more episodes, but shorter episodes. So episodes that you can listen to in one sitting, maybe on your way home from work, on your way to work, or, you know, whenever it is that you choose to listen to your podcasts, but still ones that are informative and still ones where you can hopefully take away something new. My name is Sana and I am the host of this podcast. And as always, to have these wonderful discussions, I am usually joined by a co-host and sometimes a great guest. And our co-host for this episode today is our managing editor, Bushra. Peace be upon you, Bushra, and welcome to this episode.
Thanks, Sana. Peace be upon you as well and to all our listeners. And it's great to be back with another new exciting series ahead.
No doubt you all remember Bushra. She's joined us on multiple other episodes in the past, and we've had some really good discussions. So I'm excited because I think that this one will be no different, and I'm excited to hear what her perspective is. And also, we have a wonderful guest with us on this episode as well. Her name is Natasha, and she'll have some great insight to share later on as well. So stay tuned to hear from her. So the topic for our very first episode is fasting. And fasting's not just something that Muslims do, but it's a practice that all major religions have. And even if you're not religious, you might have found that fasting is something that's worked for you.
Yeah. And so, you know, as you know, this is the start of the blessed month of Ramadan, which is the holiest month of the year for Muslims. So this topic is very timely, and we hope it provides a practical understanding on exactly what fasting is for everyone.
Yep, exactly. And these days, fasting, like I was saying before, isn't something that is just confined to those people that are religious. Intermittent fasting is something that is quite common, and it's a common method that people adopt as a way to fast. And sometimes it could be to lose weight or for other health reasons, but it's definitely something that is quite common. And unlike most diets, fasting or intermittent fasting isn't something that excludes a specific type of food group or, you know, such as fats, sugars or carbohydrates, or it isn't something that stops you from eating one specific thing. All you need is a clock. And perhaps that's part of its appeal. And that's why it's something that people gravitate towards more often than, you know, just a fad diet where you have to cut out carbohydrates or you cut out sugars or things like that. But my question for you, Bushra, is why is fasting becoming so popular now?
Yeah, so often when we talk about fasting, generally, most people would think of it as a relatively easy way to lose weight because we are restricting our calorie intake. Because, you know, simply telling people to eat a healthy, balanced diet often doesn't work. But by giving them rules to follow, it makes it easier for them to discipline themselves. And, you know, we know calorie-controlled diets all have a similar impact on weight loss. But the diet that is really successful is really one that people can sustain in the long term. And one of the difficulties with sticking to a diet is, you know, craving those forbidden foods. But with fasting, it's perhaps less of a problem for people.
And it's funny because it's often the things that you can't have that you want. And so when you have that sort of diet where you can't have things like sugars and breads and pastas and all the good sorts of foods, then it's difficult to stick to in the long term, which is what you've just said. So fasting, of course, has many benefits. And one of the things I think that is really unique to fasting is that it provides a chance for the body to take a break. And it actually allows for the mind to focus on other things like improving spirituality, which actually might not be something that people think about when they think about fasting.
Yeah, so we'll discuss the spiritual aspects and benefits of fasting a bit later on in the episode. But in terms of its health benefits, it has so many. It, you know, protects from obesity and associated chronic diseases. It can boost your brain performance. It can reduce inflammation in your body. It improves overall fitness. Obviously, it supports weight loss, and it also decreases the risk of metabolic diseases.
And of course, with benefits like this, why wouldn't you want to take part in fasting or give fasting a go? And, you know, we'll hopefully delve into our own experiences with fasting a little bit later in the episode. But this fits in really nicely with our next segment. And before we actually continue discussing the rest of this topic, I'd like to take a moment to introduce our wonderful guest, Natasha. Now, Natasha is a dietitian, and some of the things that she, you know, focuses on is trying to find a balance for what is good and unique for your particular body. She has a passion for cooking and a love for food, and in her spare time, she enjoys learning new recipes and staying active with coastal walks or dancing. And, you know, whilst all those things are really important, she has qualifications in dietetic studies. So she's got a Master of Dietetic Studies from the University of Queensland and also a Bachelor of Health Science majoring in nutrition from the University of Queensland as well. Something to point out is whilst she is based in Sydney, she is available online and you can find her on her website, which is Everything Nourishing, or even just Google her name and the information should pop up there. So Natasha, thank you so much for taking the time today out of your busy schedule to talk with us on the Muslims Down Under podcast.
It is a pleasure, Sana. Thank you for having me on here.
We're looking forward to this discussion. I'm sure with your background in education, there'll be a lot of interesting stuff that you can add to this conversation. So we'll jump straight into the first question. What are the benefits, according to your knowledge, of fasting?
So there is a couple of clinical benefits. This is based on the evidence. These include reduction in circulating blood sugar levels, reduction of fat loss, as well as a reduced risk of developing of age-related diseases. These include dementia or cancer. And the reason being is the process of what fasting does. So fasting switches our body to rely on fat in the form of ketones instead of glucose as a form of energy. Okay? And because of this, these ketone bodies have a lot of positive benefits. This includes balancing out hunger hormones, releasing of neurotransmitters, as well as the growth of healthy bacteria. And through the gut-brain axis pathway, there's a lot of benefits, again, just from all of that. While there is a range of benefits, Sana, I have to still point out that it may not be for everyone because our bodies respond in different ways, you know? And so with saying that, fasting can have some negative outcomes as well.
Yeah, and of course, those things are important to keep in mind when someone's embarking on this journey, knowing, you know, what are the practical do's and don'ts. And I guess that's a good way to move into the next question is to, you know, what is it that you would and wouldn't recommend when it comes to fasting?
I think a big do is being prepared for it, you know, getting yourself prepared, seeing when you're planning to fast and how long you're going to do it for. I think a big don't is don't do it for a long period of time. So don't over fast per se. And the reason being that it can lead to other things. So it can lead to eating disorders or things like this, which can have, again, those linked to the negative health outcomes I was mentioning. There's also the don'ts of certain populations may not be, again, recommended to partake in fasting. Some of the population I'm pretty much mentioning is your younger children, women who are pregnant, elderly, and the reason being as well is they have a higher nutrient requirement. So because fasting, you know, we're in that calorie restriction, we're not able to meet that requirement if we remove calories per day.
That makes complete sense. And of course, that's very similar to what Islam prescribes. If we're looking at it from that perspective, that of course, when it comes to children, women that are expecting, or even, you know, when you look at studying and things like that, where you require that energy and that brain energy to be able to focus, maybe it's just not the right time for you to do it then. So it's interesting that you point that out as well. So if someone wanted to fast, say, they've never fasted before, you've obviously touched on some benefits, some negatives, and, you know, what you can look for, but what are some suggestions that you would give them to be mindful of when it comes to first embarking on this journey?
So there's a couple of steps that I would recommend to them. So the first being thinking of, again, going back to the thinking. So what's your purpose of the fast? How long you plan to do it for? When do you plan to do it as well? So is it during a busy work period or is it when you're on holidays? And then the next would be that preparation component, which includes preparing those nourishing meals that you're planning to have before and after the fast. And most importantly, staying hydrated as well with the water during that fasting periods. And going on from, again, those health outcomes, if anyone does have any pre-existing medical conditions, I would highly recommend speaking to their regular GP and checking if fasting is right for them. This just ensures that they stay safe during, again, when they're planning to fast. And you can always contact a dietitian to check out if you need to prepare for that fast as well. But overall, Sana, I would highly recommend all listeners to listen to their body. So during a fast, if at any point, you know, you feel lightheaded, dizzy, nauseous, shaky, you know, some of those symptoms may pass because your body gets accustomed. But if it's going for longer, prolonged time, those are the signs that your body needs to eat. And it just may be that fasting's not for you.
And I think, look, you've summed it up so nicely by just listen to your body. Like, honestly, that comes down, that's what it comes down to in so many instances.
Exactly, Sana.
So before we disconnect today, you mentioned having those nourishing meals before and after. Any tips on what those nourishing meals should include?
Of course. So when I break into that nourishing meal, I mean a balanced meal. So I'll break it up into what needs to be in there. So firstly, a source of carbohydrate, you know, because we've taken that out of the fast. This is in a form of a bread, rice, or potato, or corn. The next being a protein source. So this can be from meat, fish, or egg. And then lastly, some vegetables, you know, so you get some vitamins and minerals in there. This can allow your body to replenish those key nutrients.
And that seems simple enough. I think if you have a little bit of everything on your plate, you should be going in the right direction.
Exactly.
Well, thank you so much, Natasha, for talking with us today. I know that was short and sharp, but that's what we're trying to do with these episodes. And I think you've provided some really practical tips that people can take away. And of course, if they have those, you know, further questions, they can even go to your website. So thank you so much for your time today. And who knows, we might have you on another episode in the future. Thank you.
So, Sana, that was a great interview with Natasha. I've certainly learnt some new things about fasting and especially about the practical aspects of observing a fast.
Now, we know that fasting has been practiced throughout history for religious, cultural, and spiritual reasons. But as a way of restricting eating, it actually goes back much further.
Yeah, the concept of fasting can actually be traced back to the 5th century to the father of medicine himself, Hippocrates. So, you know, we know fasting can be found within the roots of every major world religion. For example, there are plenty of biblical references to fasting as well.
And of course, during Ramadan. So Muslim worshippers fast from sunrise to sunset for an entire month. And it's meant to be a time of spiritual discipline, of deep contemplation of one's relationship with God, where it's a time where they perform, Muslims will perform extra prayer, they'll give increased charity and generosity and take the time to study the Holy Quran. Fasting in Islam is actually a highly developed institution, and it's not just about restricting food for the sake of restricting food.
Yeah, there are actually two types of fasting in Islam, voluntary and obligatory. Obligatory fasting takes place every year during the month of Ramadan for one full lunar month. So the month actually changes every year in relation to the solar months. And this actually creates a universal balance because sometimes you'll be fasting in more difficult, longer summer months where there is longer days of fasting. And some years you'll have easier fasts as well. And the voluntary fasting can be done anytime throughout the year. And Muslims often observe these voluntary fast for different reasons. So, you know, they might have missed their obligatory fast during Ramadan, so they will observe them then. Or sometimes people fast to increase their worship and pray for something specific as well.
And practically, fasting in Islam begins everywhere at the first appearance of dawn and ends with sunset. So during the fast, Muslims will abstain from all food and drink. And I know this was something that always shocked my friends when I would tell them that it was drinks, so water as well, and other vain acts. And you take that time to focus on worship and improving your spirituality by praying. And it's specific to you and your relationship with God. You take that time to recite the Holy Quran and you increase in the giving of charity and your services to humanity. Now, I found that for me, I take that time to wake up earlier in the morning to take part in voluntary prayer. So it's called the Hajjud. So you wake up early and you read this, you read, you know, voluntary prayer before you then read your Fajr prayer, which is the morning prayer of the day. And that's not something I do all the time, but I take that time during the month of Ramadan to focus on that and to actually better myself in that way and to increase my spirituality in that way, because that's something that's important to me. And that's something that I feel is a way that I can increase and improve on my spirituality. And for other people, it might be something different, but we all take that time to better ourselves and really focus on you know, our inner selves and our spirituality.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's also good to be aware that just because we are Muslims and we know how to fast, that it still may come with its challenges. The fast of Ramadan is firstly a lesson in humility, and participating in the fast teaches everyone exactly how difficult it is to be hungry for days one after the other. It tests our patience with ourselves and others, and it tests our commitment and willingness to be far out of our comfort zones every day, especially, you know, living in Western society, going to work, maintaining our day-to-day life in a society where the majority of people are not fasting. And although God does give us ease in many ways, so for example, if we're sick or traveling, we don't have to fast, but at the same time, this month offers a challenge for us to increase our efforts in being more mindful of God throughout the day and increasing our good deeds.
Yeah, it's so relevant that you mentioned that just because someone is a Muslim, they would know how to keep the best fast, and that's not necessarily the case. I think anyone striving to better themselves and making a conscious effort during this month to improve can, of course, reap the benefits. So, Bushra, what does your day look like during Ramadan? Of course, it varies from person to person. The thing that's common is that we fast from dawn till dusk. But what does a particular day during Ramadan look like for you and your family?
So for me, I try to use this month as like a reset for my routines, for me and my family. And, you know, normally we just get so busy with family, with work and other commitments sometimes that I start to miss or ignore small things that I want to do with my family that we just, you know, basically run out of time for. But these things are seemingly small, but I think they're really very important. So a typical day for me looks like getting up early to offer voluntary early morning prayers at the Hajjud. Then I would make food to keep our fast. After this, we pray in congregation at home with my family. So we offer the first prayer of the day, Fajr, together. And then I read the Holy Quran. And after that, it's usually trying to get some cleaning done before breakfast for the kids. So my kids are still young, so they don't fast yet. And then it's getting them ready for school, then school drop off, and then I head to work. And I come home from work back with the kids after their school pickup. So once we're home, it's time to offer our afternoon prayers. And what I try to do at this time is that my kids love reading books, so they're usually sharing, you know, bits and pieces of what they're reading. But during Ramadan, I try and encourage them to read more religious books, and then so they have to share something of what they've read from these books with everyone. So it's just something small. And, you know, on other days sometimes they've got homework or we're just too busy to sit down together and discuss a book. But during Ramadan, we try to make sure we do this every day. And then I'm in the kitchen to make dinner to break our fast. And if I manage to have everything ready, I will read the Holy Quran again before breaking our fast. After our evening prayers, we usually eat dinner straight away and then offer our last prayer for the day. So the day is really busy during Ramadan as well, but I try to make a conscious effort to include little things that I hope become habits for us as a family that we can continue later on as well.
Wow, that sounds like a busy time in your household, but I'm sure one filled with blessings as well. Look, a day for me during Ramadan does look a little bit different to that because, of course, there are no kids in the mix for me, but it's also dependent on whether I'm working or whether it's the weekend and I don't have any work. But generally, it starts the same way like it does for most people. I try and wake up in the morning to offer the voluntary prayers of the Hajj before we have food and before we actually, you know, drink water and do everything we're required to do prior to starting our fast. And after that's done, I then go and help my family or my husband or whoever it is that's cooking at the time to make food so that we can all eat. Sometimes it might be eating dinner from the day before, if that's what I'm feeling like eating in the morning. Sometimes it might be something really small, or it might be a smoothie. It just really depends on what I feel like at that time. And obviously it is difficult to eat so early in the morning when you're not used to it, but it is a habit that you develop pretty quickly during the month of Ramadan. And I found personally that when I eat smaller meals, that actually holds me throughout the day a little bit better, and I don't find myself getting hungry. And of course, you want to try and make sure that you have balanced diet or a balanced plate of food so that you are making sure you're getting the nutrients and things you need for the day. And then after that, we all offer our Fajr prayer or our morning prayer together. And I think it's a blessing that in Ramadan, because we're all up at the same time and we make that conscious effort to be up at the same time, we all get to read our prayers in congregation, which of course there's greater blessing in that as well. And then I try to finish the Holy Quran during the month of Ramadan, like many Muslims do. So I'll try and read a few pages in the morning before I have to actually get up and get ready for work. And to be honest, that's something that's actually been a really good habit that I like to get into during Ramadan, because it's something that I find actually sticks after as well, and getting into the habit of even just reading a little bit of Quran a day, I think is very important. And then, to be honest, I always try to sleep a little bit if I have some time before then and have the time that I have to get up to go to work. And of course, because I'm not having to pack lunch or, pack my bag and things like that with food, I actually do have some time in the morning where I can sleep. But otherwise, I'm then up, out of the door, and then I go to work. And obviously, things like work, you have to still do. It's not that you get a free pass because you're fasting. And so once I'm at work, I'm doing my work. But at lunch, because I'm not eating, I try to do something spiritual at that time. I'll try and make sure I go read my afternoon prayers, or, you know, read some other prayers, or, you know, do something of that nature. I'm bettering my spirituality and my religious knowledge. And then by the end of the day, I'm home, and it's about preparing to open your fast and making sure that there's food on the table, everyone has water, and so that when it's time to open our fast, we can all do so together. And that's then obviously followed by our evening prayers, which again, we get to reading congregation. And I think it's really lovely because we all make that extra effort to be home on time, to open our fast together, and then of course, to be able to pray together. And the day always ends with a early bedtime, because it's obviously really difficult to get up in the morning when you haven't had enough sleep. And so again, focus is put on that, which those are really good habits to get into, because developing your sleeping routine and having times that you go to bed and you wake up, and that consistency is of course really good for your health as well. So that's probably what a general day looks like for me. And we'd love to hear about what your days look like. So definitely share that with us as well. Now, of course, I've mentioned that we still have to work, right? All the things that we do during Ramadan, and things like obviously reading our Quran and trying to pray in congregation, all things are required to do throughout the year. But when it comes to Ramadan, that's when we're putting in that special effort. We're actually putting in more effort to, you know, better ourselves. And it's reported of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, that spending in the cause of the poor was a routine daily practice with him, which has been likened unto a breeze, never ceasing to bring comfort and solace to the needy. So he always used to give, you know, charity. However, during Ramadan, the reporters of the hadith, the sayings of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, remind us that that breeze seemed to pick up speed and blow like strong winds. And I think that actually provides beautiful imagery as to what it really means to double down and put in greater effort during the month of Ramadan. In a nutshell, I think it's important to realize and remember that you shouldn't be fasting just for dieting and health reasons, even though, as we discussed before, it does have physical health benefits. And of course, that's why a lot of people take part in intermittent fasting. But fasting should be done purely for the sake of Allah, as a spiritual exercise and a physical cleanse. And that's something that we've all learned, I think, throughout our own experiences during the months of Ramadan, that, you know, the physical health benefits are kind of just, they just happen as a result of, you know, taking part in fasting. But that focus and that priority is that spiritual cleanse and becoming closer to God Almighty.
Yeah, so ultimately fasting is just another spiritual practice of Islam that develops mindfulness of God. Muslims actually are training themselves for a whole month to be mindful of Allah, so that during the rest of the year, we can be more mindful, more conscious of our actions. You know, we might develop certain good habits during this month that we can then actually implement throughout the rest of the year as well. And so in essence, in Islam, you know, is a means of attaining God consciousness. And along with the physical aspects of fasting, its spiritual dimensions purify the soul. They instill self-reflection and inspire virtuous living. And fasting in this month is a yearly opportunity for Muslims to physically and spiritually revive themselves. You know, therefore, the spiritual regimen of fasting is actually like a reorientation for the body and the mind.
I think that's a great way to look at it. And would you believe that this actually brings us to the end of our episode? So I wasn't lying at the beginning when I said we're definitely trying to make these episodes shorter, but still deliver that same learning experience. We hope that you've learned a few new things, and we definitely hope that you keep in contact with Muslims Down Under through our social media channels, and definitely check out Instagram for how other Muslims are going to be spending their Ramadan. We hope you'll join us on the next episode of the Muslims Down Under podcast. That's all from us. So peace be upon you, and we'll see you next time.